The Democratic National Convention gets underway here in Chicago in just 2 weeks. It's been years in the making, and Governor Pritzker, who leads the host state, suggests it will be the biggest and best convention yet. But he's not in charge of making it the Democratic Party's biggest party. My guest is, more or less. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. My guest is the executive director of the 2024 Democratic National Convention Host Committee. Christy George was Governor Pritzker's first assistant deputy governor for budget and economy when he tapped her for this job. Prior to joining the governor's office, she was executive director of the Illinois Commerce Commission and served in several key Chicago government roles, including deputy budget director for public safety. Well, now she's shepherding preparations for the four-day festival of Democratic camaraderie, team building, and promotion. And now we can check on how it's all coming along. And Christy George, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you.
Well, I think everyone who's been following the convention doings knows that there are two venues, the United Center and McCormick Place. And I think most of us know and expect that the big speeches and primetime business will happen at the UC. Traditionally, the actual party business takes place at the daytime sessions. Now, up in Milwaukee, first off, there weren't that many daytime sessions. There was only one, actually. And the GOP National Convention shifted the pageantry of the roll call of the states to the day side. The Democrats, I believe, are in the midst of doing a roll call virtually. And so what is left for McCormick Place?
Yeah, absolutely. So there will be a lot. The DNC will have their daytime caucus and council meetings. As you know, there's multiple caucuses. There's the Black Caucus, the Women's Caucus, the AAPI Caucus, the Small Business Council, the Interfaith Council, the Labor Council. There's so many different councils that will be working together in their individual groups to talk through their party platform, to talk through issues that are important to the party, and to really set the stage for Kamala Harris as she is the presumptive nominee. All of those meetings will happen during the daytime at about, 9:30 a.m.-ish all the way till about 3 to 4 p.m. Over at McCormick Place. And then one of the other really key things that we have going on at McCormick Place is we'll have an expo happening where we will be highlighting our 77 community areas over at McCormick Place. We'll have business organizations represented there. We'll have activations happening there, and we're doing that in partnership with the DNC. And the goal is to, because this will be open to the public, is to get as many of the visitors that will be in town, those 50,000 visitors that are coming in town, all of the delegates that, will be at McCormick Place as well, to really be able to sample some of what Chicago has to offer and some of our small business community, as well as all of the organizations that really make our community and our city special. So we are so looking forward to it. Now, beyond that, during the daytime, there are other things that are happening all throughout the city. We're hearing even folks like City Club, they're hosting, various panel discussions that will be at Chicago Firehouse. We're hearing of other organizations that will be hosting business roundtables. So we're excited. We think that there's going to be activity happening all throughout the city, both during the daytime and at night. And it's going to be a fantastic opportunity for not only the 50,000 people that are coming into town, but all of our residents to take part in this historic moment for our city.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because that was something that I know the National Democratic Chairman Jamie Harrison, Governor Pritzker, and then Mayor Lori Lightfoot all had made clear they wanted something to embrace all of the neighborhoods. So what are the kinds of things that might be happening away from the downtown area?
No, you're absolutely right. That was, a key issue, a key priority for all of our elected principals, whether it was Governor Pritzker, then Mayor Lori Lightfoot, now Mayor Johnson, as well as Senator Duckworth. Everybody shared with us the desire to have our 77 community areas highlighted. And we started doing that. When I was hired onto the team back in September, it was one of my first priorities. And between myself and our senior director of civic and community engagement, we did things like starting a neighborhood ambassadors program. With that, we were able to get representatives from all of our 77 community areas, as well as a number of our surrounding suburbs, to ensure that our volunteer corps really truly represented the diversity and vibrancy of our city. But getting back to your point of what else is going to be going on, what we focused on was all of the event activities. So we started back several months ago. We did some of our pre-convention events at various locations all throughout the city. We took state party chairs to Bronzeville Winery. We took members of the media, as you may recall, to Garfield Park Conservatory to host a reception so that folks could really start to feel different areas of our city and experience the cultural assets of our city. We launched our Civic Action Week down in Pullman at the Pullman National Historic Monument in partnership with the Pullman Historic Foundation. And then that launched a whole series of service activities. We had 20 different service projects across 9 neighborhoods. But what we're so excited about is some of the work that we've done in partnership with Choose Chicago, where we have built out these cultural itineraries where we've identified, what is Black Chicago, what is Latino Chicago, what is AAPI Chicago, what is LGBTQ+ Chicago, what are the locations in Chicago that are good for people that need that have accessibility needs. And so we have those. They're live on Choose Chicago's website right now, but these are evergreen resources. These are things that not only these visitors, our visitors and delegates can use, but also our residents can use. And then even for future tourist activities, folks will be able to be able to use these as resources to see things all throughout the city of Chicago. So we'll include those into our delegate welcome bags. All of our delegates, as well as some members of the media, will be able to get copies of these within those bags, which is excellent and a great resource. And in addition to that, what we're seeing is of the hundreds of ancillary events that are coming up, we're seeing a number of them that are in various areas of the city. We've seen bookings at Sidetrack up in North Halsted. We've seen bookings at Bridgeport Art Center, obviously down in Bridgeport. We've seen bookings on the west side. We're seeing things pop up in all different areas of the city. We even have a party happening at DuSable Museum. So we're seeing all of these different activities happening in various parts of the city. Well, we are also very aggressively getting out our vendor directory. We pulled together this repository of thousands of businesses. Many of them are diverse. All of them are from either Chicago or Illinois more broadly. And we're getting that out to the delegates as well as the visitors that are coming in from out of town, the allied groups, advocacy organizations, and all of the folks that are going to be hosting events, and making sure that they utilize our vendor directory so that some of that economic impact can get to local businesses. What we want to see is that economic impact from the convention getting out to as many of our neighborhoods as possible, as many of our local businesses as possible. So we're seeing a lot of engagement. We're seeing a lot of activity, and we just can't wait for 18 days from now when our whole city is going to turn electric and it's going to be on fire.
And well, not literally given the history of the city, but
Oh,
I do
good
want
point, Craig. Good point.
to I do want to ask, aside from the DuSable Museum, are there any other is there any other involvement with educational institutions and efforts?
So one thing that we did, we certainly had an engagement with the universities, and just to ensure that we have connectivity with them and that they're aware of all of our planning. In addition to that, our cultural institutions are offering delegates and their families reduced admission and or free days. There are places like the Illinois Holocaust Museum and Education Center. Center, the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum, the Children's Museum, and a number of others. We know that even the Field Museum is going to be offering some free tours for delegates as well. So we're actually seeing a number of our cultural institutions get together to provide these excellent resources and to really help showcase our city.
I understand that there are some other legacy projects, things that will live on beyond the convention?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the things that we're most proud of, you know, our vendor directory obviously is a key resource, as well as our venue portal. What we plan to do is to gift those resources to Choose Chicago, to other events associations as well, and other individuals that are event planning associations, so that they have these resources. You know, other things that we have worked on in partnership with the City of Chicago are a number of beautification efforts, certainly in partnership with CDOT as well as the State of Illinois. At IDOT is, you know, ensuring that our expressways are clean, ensuring that our local parks have, you know, updated landscaping. It's ensuring that there's, you know, additional concrete planters in various areas near the United Center and McCormick Place, hanging baskets as well that will be installed. We certainly also have been working with Abby Pucker and the team at Gertie for their Next Stop Chicago project, where they've got art installations that will be at numerous locations along the Green Line, and those art installations are in place. We also know that the city has been working on murals that will be installed in various locations throughout the city in celebration of the DNC as well. But one of the other things that we've focused on and thought about is, from the workforce perspective, it's not just the investment in the physical infrastructure, but it's the investment in the human infrastructure. I think, you know, we saw in 96 that there was such a huge investment in the physical infrastructure between downtown and the west side, and particularly along Madison Avenue. You know, we do believe that the city has done an extensive amount of infrastructure investment, but what we have also been thinking about is, how can we invest in our people? And so in each one of our vendor contracts, we have mentorships and internships. What we have also noticed is that with the City of Chicago, they started a junior laborers program where they were able to hire on 70 CPS students to become junior laborers, who then are working with the Chicago Department of Streets and Sanitation, and will then become card-carrying members of Laborers Local 1001. So there's definitely different elements of this, but you know, from both the physical and human infrastructure standpoint, it's really just been a fantastic opportunity to leave a positive imprint on the city.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and we're talking about preparations for the Democratic National Convention taking place here in Chicago later this month. My guest is Christy George, Executive Director of the DNC 2024 Host Committee. Well, let's bring it back downtown to talk a little bit about what's going to be going on in the at Ground Zero. How has the change at the top of the Democratic ticket forced any adjustments at the host committee level? I mean, are you guys involved in different programming, shifting venues, any things like that?
No, it hasn't. It hasn't been shifting venues for us. You know, what I would say is that we are eternally grateful for Joe Biden and his decision to choose Chicago to be the location for this convention. We knew that it was a personal decision for him. It was also based upon all of the variety of factors that make Chicago just an amazing world-class city, whether that's, you know, the infrastructure that we have, it's, you know, our experience in hosting large-scale events, or it's all of the amenities that Chicago has to offer. But we are very grateful for Joe Biden's decision to do that. But what we've seen since, you know, the change in nominee and presumptive nominee is certainly a level of excitement. And we think that it will still be a fantastic convention, frankly, regardless of who the nominee is. But we do believe that folks in Chicago are absolutely excited for Vice President Kamala Harris. And we can't wait to celebrate with her.
I want to ask a little bit about that, because this will, of course, be the second time there's a woman at the top of the ticket for the Democrats. But I'm interested in how the excitement level is, you know, even within the staff and the host committee, that, you know, this is going to be probably one of the most closely watched conventions around. In fact, this whole season has been, you know, one that people really haven't seen before.
I think the excitement, it's palpable, but it's always, our team has always been excited. We've been excited since day one. You know, we were excited April 11th of 2023 when the convention was announced, and our excitement has not waned since. So for us, it's really more so about the city. We are just excited to be able to welcome so many people to this city. As you know, we are no stranger to hosting large-scale events, but there's something special about having the DNC here. There's something about the DNC that really excites people. It excites young people. It makes people want to engage. It makes people even consider changing their career trajectories to be a part of the democratic process even more. And for Chicago to be the center of it, we are just excited to have that honor. And we know that this is going to be an amazing world-class convention, because we are an amazing world-class city.
Has this change brought even more people? You're saying more people want to be a part of it. Did you get all the volunteers that you were looking for?
Oh, absolutely. That has been a true success story for the Chicago Host Committee. I would say that, you know, the excitement was definitely real. We definitely saw people were excited to be a part of this convention. Certainly, even before Vice President was announced as a presumptive nominee, you know, we saw our volunteer applications up to 12,000, which was our goal. You know, we did that within a month, which is really record breaking. Since then, we've seen even more folks want to sign up and be a part of this moment. We have 18,000 applications in thus far and over 15,000 people on a wait list. So people are very excited to be a part of this moment, but I'd like to think that it has a lot to do with our local folks wanting to show up for the city. Certainly, all of our volunteer corps, a significant percentage of our volunteer corps, excuse me, about 70%, are from the Chicagoland area. And all of Chicago zip codes are represented in our volunteer corps. So we know that our city is excited. We know that folks want to stand up for our city. And we can't wait to welcome folks and to serve alongside all of our volunteers.
Another part of your job that doesn't get talked about all that much, because, you know, I'm sure that at least for us, all the other stuff is so much more fun. But the host committee was also charged with raising money for this, and I believe the goal was something around $100 million. How has that gone?
It has gone well. So our goal was between 80 and 100 million. It was definitely a large feat. But our team is just incredibly grateful for the broad coalition of supporters that we have. It's everyone from organized labor, it's folks from the business community, it's individual contributors, and all of these folks have come together to ensure that we have a successful convention. We are certainly not taking anything for granted, but we are absolutely grateful for all of the work that folks have done. We are certainly working hard to raise the most money in convention history, and we are on track to do so. And that is both Democrat or Republican.
Can you say that you have reached the goal yet, or is that still a work in progress?
I can't share that specific detail, but I hope to very, very soon.
Okay, understood. One of the other things I would like to talk about is that there was considerable attention at the top of involving people with disabilities more in not only in convention activities, but also in how you staffed, also how the delegates themselves would be dealt with. Can you talk a little bit about if there's any, you know, innovations or things that you're able to do that haven't been done before?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think you mentioned the 2016 convention. You know, there were certainly things when we looked back to the 2016 convention, we certainly thought that there were things that we can improve upon. One of the best things we did was hire an accessibility advisor, Robin Jones, and she has worked with a number of different organizations. And in particular, she started an accessibility advisory council, which has over 10 different accessibility advocacy organizations on it. And we really pulled from them some best practices. We utilized them and leveraged them for our planning. But we used her knowledge and her expertise to do things like, for the first time in convention history, having a fully compliant ADA ramp within the United Center so that delegates who are in wheelchairs are able to sit with their state delegations. This has never happened before. So this is a first for us. And we are so proud to be able to provide this for our delegates. But we've also taken a much more expansive approach in thinking about accessibility needs and individuals with disabilities. We thought about how can we provide sensory rooms for individuals that may need quiet space. We've thought about individuals that may need ASL interpreters and making sure that we have them for all of our proceedings, whether that's at the United Center or that's at McCormick Place. From a mobility perspective, we've thought about where can we have wheelchair repair stations at the United Center, and even partnering with our key partners at the airport to make sure that there's wheelchair repair available even there. So when delegates get off the plane, when visitors get off the plane, they have resources available there. And that's in certain credit to our partners at the Chicago Department of Aviation, as well as our airline partners as well. You know, we've thought about even from just our transportation. We've contracted with CTA and a number of private bus companies to make sure that we have fully accessible buses so that when we are shuttling around our visitors, when we are shuttling around delegates from the hotels to McCormick Place or to United Center, that if they need a wheelchair accessible bus or if they need a wheelchair accessible vehicle, we have that taken care of already. So we've really thought about it from start to finish. We've thought about how we can ensure that our hotels have enough accessible rooms. We've even had conversations with our partners, our rideshare partners, to ensure that there is enough wheelchair accessible transportation from a rideshare perspective. So we've done a lot of things. We've looked at it from multiple fronts, and we think this absolutely will be the most accessible convention in history.
This is something that people don't always think about, but even the wheelchair repair, and I bet I know where that suggestion came from, because I've heard Senator Tammy Duckworth talk about how many times she's had wheelchairs damaged in, you know, while traveling by air. So
let me just say, Senator Duckworth has been at the forefront of all of this planning. We would not have had the successes in ensuring that this is the most accessible convention in history without her leadership. She's personally asked for briefings. She has personally been involved. And to your point, she has personally had negative experiences. And we wanted to make sure that that did not ever happen again.
Well, good to hear. Now, I just want to go back to touch on business a little bit more, because I should have asked this while we were talking about it. But are there some success stories of where you were making inroads with businesses within Chicago where, you know, something great happens?
No, absolutely. I think one of the biggest successes that we've been able to have has been our contracting legacy that we are leaving. This is a historic convention for many reasons. And certainly the last 2 weeks, it is historic, a once in a generation, experience for many of us. But one of the things that we have focused on is that for all of the firsts that we are setting to do with this convention, we want to make sure that they are not the last. So when we think about our inclusion strategy for our procurements, we started out with a number of different outreach strategies. We held outreach engagement sessions on both the south side and the west side of the city. We held numerous virtual outreach sessions for all of our prime contracts. And the goal there was just to get the word out about our contracting opportunities, about the potential economic benefit of this convention as much as we possibly could. And what the result was an incredible amount of interest. And in fact, of the 14 contracts, prime contracts that we issued, 10 of them went to diverse firms. Now, those 10, it was 8 diverse firms and 2 diverse partnerships, but many of them were local businesses. We had for one of our largest prime contracts, our expo services contracts, the folks that are building out the media tents, as well as doing some work inside of the United Center and at McCormick Place. That work went to Show Strategy, which is a local-based firm, event services firm, that is owned by Glenn Charles, who's a son of Inglewood, a Black man that's a son of Inglewood. And this was something that has absolutely changed his life. It has changed the trajectory of his company. And it is truly showing the world that even local Chicago-based businesses, they can compete on a national and international level. They can do incredible work. They can do large-scale events, and it puts them in a better position for future conventions of this scale and of this size, and really increases the opportunity for them to be able to get a significant amount of economic impact. And so for us, we see all of these contracting opportunities as economic mobility opportunities. It is, you know, not just for us having the first Black prime contractor through Show Strategies. It's ensuring that for future conventions that that future conventions see this as the bar and not the ceiling.
Well, thank you so much, Christy. That is Christy George, Director of the Democratic National Convention 2024 Host Committee. I thank you very much for spending this half hour with us. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage, and you can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Dellamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM. BBM.